Pete and Ursa Hubley, who were scheduled to be here, are not here. They called us yesterday and shared with us that they're actually down in Colon, and they had like near blizzard conditions. Of course, many of us, if you were out and about at all, there was some significant whiteout conditions yesterday. So they did not feel it was safe to bring their whole family clear from down there. And the road that they're staying with Ursula's mom, she lives on a back road. And she said the last time they had a major snowstorm that the road actually drifted shut and the plows didn't get there till about 3 in the afternoon. So they didn't want to take the risk of not being able to get here today. So we're pinch hitting this morning. Isn't that funny? The normal hitter is pinch hitting. But what we wanted to do is just share with you some reflections that we received from National Conference, since that's where we were last week. And Dawn and I were definitely encouraged. We were strengthened. A lot of good word came to us, as well as we just had some wonderful times of fellowship. You all wouldn't fully understand this, but we sat down with one particular pastor and his wife, and they were just kind of pouring their heart with us about some challenges that they were facing. And we began to minister to them, shared some of the stuff that I've been teaching in the Overcomer group about schemes and so on. When we were done, what an amazing, I can't even describe to you the ministry and the joy that it brings to be able to minister with folks like that. And they shared with that. They said, you know, it's so good to talk with another pastor and his wife, because people who are not in the pastorate cannot fully understand the challenges that come with it, because you don't just deal with your own life stuff, you're dealing with everybody's stuff. And the burden and the concern and the compassion and the care that you have for people. And sometimes they don't even understand the compassion that you have. And so for them to share that and know that we got it, what a blessed time. So we received it in fellowship, we received it in encouragement, hearing other people's stories, and we received it from the ministry that we received as leaders from other pastors and their wives in the network. So just so appreciate that opportunity to be away, to spend that time. And I just asked Dawn to kind of share just something that she, you know, received that really spoke to her as we were at the national conference. And then I'm just going to share off the heels of that.
Well, I didn't really receive just, you know, one certain thing. A lot of what really spoke to me, Pastor's going to speak on, so I really am not going to share a whole lot about that. It just, for me, the whole conference was just a big time of refreshment for me and the Lord, because before we left, we were really being hammered by Satan, Scott and I were, and it was good to just go and get built back up in the faith, and Satan is still trying to attack our family, as my brother-in-law just took my sister to the hospital with stomach pains. So if you guys could pray for her. But he's not going to have glory in all this, because God is bigger. Amen. And he's not going to knock me down any further.
Amen. Amen. Okay, take that. Amen. Well, while we were there, the format was kind of changed this year. We actually shared different messages, and then we ended up having what we called roundtable discussions. So typically you're sitting like this, you're sitting in rows, and you're hearing a message, and then there's different workshops that we've done in the past. Any of you that have been to some of the women's conferences or Bander Brothers, you kind of know that type of format. Well, this year we were already set up in the sanctuary, gathered around tables. And there was messages shared, and then there was also discussion that was had as far as related to the topics that were spoken on. And so this morning what I want to do is I just kind of want to really piggyback off of a couple of messages that really stirred inside of me, and kind of bring them together, because they almost sound like they're at opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of their application, but they really actually have an application that comes together. And so I'm going to share parts of a message that Pastor Carl Catalinato shared related to surviving setbacks. How many have ever had a setback in their life? How many have ever had a setback in this last year? Anybody had a setback this last week? Okay, all right. So he gave some principles relating to surviving setbacks, and then Pastor Mike Ware shared a message focused on vision for increase. Now, as you know, we've been focusing on order, health, and growth in this last year. So I just love how the Holy Spirit loves to weave a tapestry and make something awesome. And I really believe this is going to be a continued theme, if you will. I hate to, that sounds almost too shallow to call it a theme, but it will be a continued emphasis that I believe the Lord wants us to focus on in this year. Because as I've shared, I just still have a sense that America could really experience a significant shaking in this year that we're in. And as a result of that, we need to be ready. And so what I'm going to focus on is only going to kind of be a part of that tapestry. So how many of you, as you know, are familiar with what a setback is, if you were to define it? Pastor Carl defined it as this: a setback is a problem that makes progress more difficult and success more unlikely. That doesn't mean success won't happen, but when there's a setback, how many know progress seems to be delayed? And so it's important to understand where setbacks originate, and as he focused on, there were three places that he mentioned. Number one, which is interesting, that he started here, but actually setbacks can actually occur, number one, from God. What? God can create a setback. Well, how many know we need to go to God's Word? We can't just make a statement like that unless we demonstrate it from His Word, right? So Acts 16, 6 through 7, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And so, in their mind, they were headed to a certain place to do what God had called them to do, correct? They were going there to preach the gospel. But here we see that it was actually the Holy Spirit who was keeping them from going to that place. And so the principle that we can receive from that is that how many of us have ever gone in a direction that God didn't necessarily want us to go? And yet we were determined to go there anyway. And we couldn't figure out why we kept bumping our head into the wall. Well, it's because we were experiencing resistance of the Holy Spirit, because that wasn't the plan God had for us. He wanted us somewhere else. And so we need to understand that there sometimes can be setbacks to our agenda that God orchestrates, because it's not going to produce what He had planned in the first place. So we need to learn to seek God and discern, just like Paul had to do with the Holy Spirit. Now, later on, he had a vision that where a man was calling him, "Come to Macedonia, we need help." And then Paul concluded, "Ah, that's where God wants us to go." So the first thing we need to do is that if we experience we're trying to go somewhere, and it's even for kingdom purposes, it's even for things that we really feel God wants us to do, but we keep hitting a wall, it isn't working the way we thought it was going to, we need to take a step back and seek God to say, "God, is this really where you want us to be. So that's number one. The second place or that we can accept, or the one that we can accept a setback from, is the enemy, Satan himself. 2 Thessalonians 2:17 through 18 says this, "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you." Paul's writing this to the Thessalonian church. He said, "For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way." And so the enemy can stand in the way, can he not, of what God wants us to do. Now, we have authority over the enemy, so how the enemy works is, listen to Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." All right? So that's where our real battle is, but how many know that battle still gets fleshed out in the natural realm? And the reason Paul would have had a difficult time getting to the Thessalonians is because the Jewish leaders in Thessalonica were resisting him. But his battle really wasn't against them. It really was the enemy who was working through them in their thinking that resisted Paul. But nonetheless, that is how Satan worked, to resist him from being able to come back to the Thessalonians. So we have to understand that there are times when God does have in mind for us to go somewhere, but the enemy's going to stir things up. And I will tell you, I have a sense, well, I not only have a sense, I think it's already happening in the day that we live. This whole stronghold of same-sex marriage, you just dare to go out even on Christian sites now and comment about how the faithfulness of one man and one woman is the definition of marriage. And I can promise you, the enemy is going to raise somebody up who's going to resist that and give you this whole line about equal rights and that people are born that way, and it goes on and on and on, which are lies, strongholds of the enemy. So the enemy is resisting things even in our culture today. Okay, but we need to remember 2 Corinthians 10:4, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So we take our stand with the Word of God. We do not compromise. Whether someone else does or doesn't is really not our problem. We stand firm on the Word of God as our weapon that says, "I will not buy into the lie of the enemy." Okay. And then finally, our struggle can be against people. Now, again, I think the battle of the enemy, again, like I've already kind of stated, they work together, all right? But Acts 20, 29 through 30 says this, "I know that after I leave," Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders. He says, "I know after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves." So there are false prophets in the world today, are there not? There are false teachers in the world today who are seeking to gain a following. And so people can submit themselves to deception and therefore try to draw a following. Folks, this is happening all the time in the world that we live, in the education system, in the political system, in the economic system, in the scientific realm. All of these places, there are people who exalt the knowledge of man above the knowledge of God, and therefore try to influence people to follow them. So these are places that can resist us and create setbacks. Also, it's not in here, but how many know circumstances Isn't that really where we end up experiencing our setbacks, is in the midst of our circumstances? Yes, God may be involved, or the enemy may be involved, or people may be involved, but it keeps us from going from where we are to where God wants us to be. And so, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with setbacks? Well, Pastor Carl gave four character traits we need to possess in order to survive setbacks. How many of you have had a setback and one of the first responses you feel like doing is throwing your hands in the air and just saying, oh, well, I quit? Right? We just feel like, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm weary. Why do I want to keep fighting this battle? Let's just go sit in the corner and just not deal with it. Isn't that often our response? At least emotionally. But is that the response God wants us to have? Did He put us on this earth to shrink back? Or did He not say that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? And so if the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, that implies the church is going to be ramming the gates of hell, and you don't go sit off in a corner and ram the gates of hell. And so we must take a stand against the enemy, amen? So what are four character traits that we need to possess to keep us from giving in to setbacks? Number one, patience. Patience. Oh boy, don't we love that one. I'm telling you, when I have a setback, the last thing I want to do is be patient about the turnaround time. I want it now. I don't know about you, but nevertheless, listen to what Romans 12, 11 through 12 says. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Hope is what will be, correct? Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So, zeal, is that not our passion? It is not the fire of God that's on the inside of us? And that's got to go deeper than simple emotions, right? There's got to be those times where in our emotions we feel like giving up, but that which is inside of us says, I cannot. I will stand. I will fight. There is a cause bigger than me. There is a God who's more significant than my problems. And therefore, I must have a passion of God within me, a zeal that will not quit. And so even in the midst of setback, I will be a patient. I will wait on the Lord. How many know the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so as we patiently wait upon the Lord, we continue to say, I will stand. I will be patient in affliction. I will be joyful. Joy is not circumstantial, right? It's providential. It's focused on God. And I will keep my fervor and my hope in Him. So patience. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says us, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So that's the first character trait we need to overcome setbacks, patience. Secondly, we need courage. Courage to get up and keep going. One of the most familiar passages in the Bible about courage really relates to the book of Joshua. These scriptures, these particular verses are very near and dear to my own heart. Honestly, they are the passages that keep me going when there's setbacks that come. They're ones that God has spoken to me very personally. But let's read through them. Joshua 1, 5 through 9. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. This is God now speaking to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what gives you courage. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what setbacks you're facing. God has promised He will never leave us or forsake us. Therefore, verse 6, He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And then verse 7, He says it again, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Notice the condition. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Third time. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now they were about to face giants in the land. And yet God was saying, do not fear, I am with you. See, that's what we have to realize. When God's called us to something, whether we have a setback or not, is really not the issue. The issue is God's on your side. We've sung that this morning. And that He is with us, and He is the one who gives us the victory. Now, we may have to lay hold of it, because if you are familiar with the book of Joshua, God told this to Joshua. He said, wherever you set your feet, I am giving you the land. And I like to ask this question. So, was Joshua taking the land, or was God giving the land? Yes. Wherever Joshua set his feet, God was giving him the land. And so we need to keep marching. Amen. We need to have courage. And then the next trait is really in that same passage. It's obedience. Notice God didn't just say have courage and courageously go sit in the corner. He said, obey everything I have commanded you. And we have that promise. We've heard this many times. James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. That's just simply saying this. When you're in the midst of a setback, you need to remember what it is God has called you to do. What it is that His plan is for your life. And you continue to do what He says, regardless of what the enemy says, other people say, your circumstances say, you do what God says. And I'm telling you, this isn't always easy. When you see some kind of loss in your life, when you see like things are going backwards and not forward, it's hard to do what you need to do. Now, don't get me wrong, if there's things in your life that need to have some order brought to it, but I have a sense that God's Word is going to show you what those things are so that you start moving in the direction He wants you to go, correct? But we need to obey God's Word. And so, there we have it. We have to have patience, courage, and obedience. And then finally, the last character trait is confidence. That's in the realm of faith, is it not? You have to have confidence. See, that often breaks down. People are like, well, everything's going bad. Nothing's working out. Must be this isn't God's plan. Now again, it may not be, but you need to seek God to discern that and let God show you that. But many times it is God's plan, and you need to persevere. And you need, in order to persevere, you need to have faith, right? Isn't that what James says? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So we need to have confidence. And that Romans 8, 28 through 29 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." And so we need to know that whatever my circumstances are, have you been called of God? Do you love God? Because if you love God and you've been called of God, then you know that God is working on your side to bring good out of whatever setback you've experienced. So you never have to doubt. You never have to doubt that God is not working on your behalf. God is not against you. He is for you. Amen? God is for you, and he is always working for you, and we need to believe that. And so this is what we need to understand. This was really Pastor Carl's final point, is that setbacks can become setups for something greater. Let me say that again. Setbacks can actually become setups for something greater. How many times do we see that in Scripture? How many times do we see in Scripture where it looked like everything was lost? Here's the Israelites at the end of the Red Sea. The Egyptians are closing in on them. Moses is going down on his face. Oh no, oh no, oh no. God says, Moses, what are you doing? Get up and get a hold of that staff and get in that river. Or that sea. And when he went down in there, the waters parted. Again and again, we see in Scripture where it looked like a setback and it was a setup for God to reveal something greater. So never look at your circumstances as an end in themselves. They may actually be an opportunity for God to show himself supernaturally. Amen? How many of you realize God's plan for your life isn't just to survive setback after setback, though? Really? Is that how we want to live? And I know people who live that way. Seems like one crisis after another crisis after another crisis after another crisis. Is that how God wants us to live? No, how many of you know that God wants us to thrive and to grow and to move forward in his plans for our life? How many of you want to do more than just exist in this world? How many of you want to see God's kingdom mature, increase, and multiply in your life and in the earth? So we don't want to just get stuck on survival mode. Amen? Now, we have to be honest. There are times when setbacks occur. And the enemy wants us to quit at that point. But we're not going to quit. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to not quit just to survive and just barely keep my head above water so I can breathe air. I want to go somewhere. And so what we're going to focus on now is experiencing something greater. See, John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." So there are setbacks, right? "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So we can overcome setbacks. But then listen to what Jesus said in John 14:11 through 13. He said, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." The works he did were what? Supernatural. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can do in Jesus greater things than even Christ did? Now, some of you are going, oh, no. How could that happen? Well, you either believe this word or you don't believe this word. You either rationalize it away like the enemy wants us to do, or you believe this word. And it says that we will do even greater than these because he says, listen to this, he says, because I am going to the Father. Now, how many know that Jesus said he could not send the comforter or the paraclete, the helper, unless he first went back to the Father? Amen? And so when he went back to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, which now endowed us with power to be bold witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Amen? And so verse 13, he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How many know that God give you the Holy Spirit so that you could ask Jesus to do the greater things than he even did, and those greater things are done by the power of the Holy Spirit? So that should be our first clue in what's going to enable us to do greater things. It's not going to be our own power. It's going to be the power of God. And so how do we move in that direction? Well, that's where Pastor Mike's message comes in, the vision for increase. And his emphasis was on this, and then this was really stirring inside of me. He said, in order for to get an increase, to get vision for increase, we really need to grasp the idea of what the Bible calls a double portion. The beginning of increase, really. So if you have a dollar, you get $2. Of course, that's just monetarily. But what about blessing and anointing for ministry? Can that double? How about the size of this church? Do we want to see this church double? Do we want to see a double portion? I'm telling you what, there was a whole lot of pastors and their wives were getting stirred up about this. Okay? And he really talks about that. He began by talking about from Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. Now, many of us are very familiar with the first three verses, which I'm going to read. But it's the next four verses that we often don't focus on. And so let's look at the first three verses. How many have heard this? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Jesus quoted this in Luke chapter 4 as the fulfillment, that he was the fulfillment of this passage. So these first three verses are really talking about Jesus, all right? But he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. How many know he did that? How many know we have received good news? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. How many know that's a promise of God? Christ came to bind up the brokenhearted. How many know in the pit of sin, we walked in brokenness? To proclaim freedom for the captives. Isn't that what we proclaimed in worship this morning? And release from darkness for the prisoners. We're no longer blinded by darkness. We have come into the light. He is the light of the world. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. How many know Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil? And to bless us with grace, his favor. Amen? Unmerited favor. To comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. These are all promises that have come through Christ that he has fulfilled. You have these. How many have we talked about that we have received every spiritual blessing in Christ? Here's a list of your spiritual blessings, folks. Instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness. How many know an oak stands tall and firm? a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. How many know all of those blessings were that so that we could bring glory to God himself? Amen? But now, here's the verses we don't often go into. Ironically, the first three verses focus on what Jesus has done and provided. Now, we receive those blessings, but how many know it's really about him that these come? But now the next four verses focus on us. Okay? Let's continue. They, meaning who? Us. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. How many know sin has brought death and destruction in the world? And these ruins are not just talking about, it's talking about the kingdom of God, but it's also talking about Jerusalem, is it not? How many know they were exiled? But God's going to rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. And they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. See, this is things that are happening in the earth, not just in the heavenly realms, correct? Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. That's related to increase. So much so that the farmer can't do it himself. The shepherd can't do it himself. So he's going to have other people coming in to help shepherd the flocks. How many know that's a sign of growth? Okay? What's the flock of God? So if we're going to get blessing, Don and I are going to say there's going to be other people that are going to rise up as leaders in this church. And I don't want just a trickle effect. I want a double portion. Amen? We're going to see that in a second here. Listen, and you will be called priests of the Lord. How many know that means you're ministry? That's ministry. And you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed, listen, on the wealth of nations. That's a sign of blessing, amen? And in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will, here it is, receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. So this is talking about increase. This is talking about multiplication. This is talking about ministry. So this isn't just talking about what we're going to get in the sweet by and by. This is what God is blessing with us in the here and now. Because he wants to add to those who experience what Christ provided in verses 1 through 3. And then be a part of the blessing that he's giving, being added to the shepherds who are going to lead the flock. All right? Now, along with that double portion, listen, Isaiah 41 through 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. That her sin has been paid for. That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, what that's talking about is how many of us can remember what it was like prior to Christ? The payment of sin was what? Death. Were we not receiving that payment? But now in Christ, look at this. After our sin is paid for, she receives from the Lord's hand double. Double blessing. So whatever the enemy meant for evil, God's turning toward good. Amen? When Jerusalem and Israel were in her sin, did she not experience the pain of sin? But God in his comfort says, no, I want to give you double. whatever you got for payment for sin, I want to double it in terms of blessing on the other side. Now, is that a promise or what? Do you know that God wants to bless you in that manner? Now, don't get this idea that this is just monetary money. Okay? That's where people, I'm not saying it can't be that, but it's by way of influence. It's by way of overcoming power. It's by way of anointing. It's by way of double blessing in the things of God's kingdom. Remember Jesus said earlier, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give you, and that's so that you may bear fruit and that it may bring glory to the Father. See, we're talking kingdom principles here. But God wants to bless us with more people, more money, more resources, more strength, more power in the Holy Ghost. He wants to double our blessing. That's the heart of God. And how many people think that God's just the God of getting by rather than the God of blessing? Right? But God wants more than that for us. And then we see that in Zechariah 9, 11 through 12. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. How many know that's talking about the enemy? From destruction, from devastation. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Think Jesus, God's got something about this double thing? He wants to double the blessing over what we received in sin in the waterless pit. And then finally, Deuteronomy 21:17, the birthright of the firstborn son is a double portion. Did you know that in the Jewish culture? Verse 17, but he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength, the right of the firstborn is his. That's a double portion. How many know you in Christ are considered the firstborn? Christ, of course, is the firstborn, but God doesn't have any grandchildren. You realize that? You're all first generation. Amen? So your birthright is a double portion of the inheritance of God. Are you getting this double portion idea? That God wants to bless you, he wants to increase you, he wants to give you favor, he wants to multiply you. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about this false prosperity gospel stuff, so get that out of your mind. I'm talking about an increase that, like the Bible, in I think it's in Jude, where it says that God wants us to prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. So he wants us to prosper and get double blessing, double portion, spirit, soul, and body, the whole package deal. Okay? So, try to make this quickly. Three steps to a double portion. Anybody want some of that? Anybody want a double portion of God? Okay? Number one, increase or a double portion begins with a revelation. Now what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about faith, which ironically we've been talking a fair amount about around here, have we not? But increase begins with revelation, and it begins with vision. We talked about vision the last couple of weeks, all right? Pastor Mike give this definition of vision, and I really liked it. He said, vision is seeing what you can't see with your eyes. Vision is seeing what you can't see. How many know when you've had a setback, your vision can be pretty dim? But if you will focus on what God's Word says, how many know that's going to require seeing something that your eyes, when they're looking around, aren't seeing in the moment? So you're going to need revelation from God. This is where faith is birthed. It's through revelation, is it not? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word is rhema. That is the revelatory word of God for your life. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. How many know that's going to take a revelation of the Spirit? Verse 10 says that these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So we're going to need a revelation to see what our eyes can't see. We're going to need to see it through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. So we're going to have to seek God for these places of double portion. All right, 1 Corinthians 2:12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. God has given us his promises, and every promise in Christ is yes and amen. Finally, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So this revelation is not just something that, it's not the name it and claim it theology. It's getting a revelation of God. And I'm telling you, but this is what you have to know. If you don't understand the principle that God wants to give you a double portion, then you're just going to believe that no, God doesn't want to give you a double portion, and you will never seek the Holy Spirit for the revelation that he wants to bless you in. And I believe that the Bible does say, however, that God gives us the desires of our heart. So guess what? That's where faith is present. So we've got to begin to seek God through the Spirit of God, what he has dropped into our heart. And then we begin to see with the eyes of our heart, which are not physical, but spiritual. They see what our eyes cannot see. Our heart sees in the spiritual realm what the Spirit of God reveals to us by faith. Is this making sense? Okay? So that's the first step. We've got to begin with a revelation. The Holy Spirit knows the mysteries and the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit wants us to see them. And listen, your mind, listen to this. Your mind, this is something Pastor Mike stated that was another good nugget. Your mind thinks according to your faith, but your faith moves according to your revelation. Let me say that again. Your mind thinks according to your faith. Your faith is based upon the word, right? So your mind is meditating on that word. But that word comes by way of revelation. So your mind thinks about what you've heard and has brought you faith, but your faith is what comes as a result of the revelation. So spiritually speaking, if you can't see it, you can't possess it. You've got to see it by way of revelation, and that's what you declare. We're going to get that in a minute. You will inherit. You will obtain by faith. Okay? So that brings us to the next point. So the first point is increase or double portion comes by way of revelation. Secondly, increase or a double portion comes to those who hunger for it. Who hunger for it. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay, now, how does righteousness come? Through faith, right? Didn't in Romans, I'm not going to read through the whole passage, but didn't Paul write in Romans 4:1-13 that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness? And so you have to hunger after the righteousness that comes by faith, that comes by the revelation. So you've got a hunger. You've got to have a desire. You've got to want to be blessed. You've got to have a desire to believe God that what He has promised, you want a piece of that. You hunger for that. And as you hunger for that, you believe God for that which He's revealed to you. And that hunger is declared to you as righteousness. How many know without faith it's impossible to please God? But faith, so therefore faith pleases God, and that's why God was pleased with Abraham, is because he believed God. Therefore God declared his faith as righteousness. Right standing with God. It pleases him. Well, you know what? If you hunger for the things of God, if you hunger for the double portion, listen, that isn't God up there going, oh my goodness, those kids, they just never stop asking me for stuff. That pleases God. That you actually believe Him for the double portion. If the church could just get a hold of that. Many of us think like, oh, I'm just making God miserable because I'm being a burden to Him one more time. Not if you're thinking kingdom. Do you think God credited Abraham righteousness because he believed the promise? Okay? So, hunger. Now here's the story of Elisha and Elijah in 2 Kings 2 through 8. This is a picture of hungering for the double portion, okay? When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now, did Elijah kick him to the curb and say, "No, you can't do that"? No, because Elijah said, I want what you got, Elijah. Okay, so then, verse 3, the company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha, which was where they were headed, right? And asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" Look at Elisha's response. "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet. Don't be telling me about this. It doesn't matter. I don't care if the Lord's going to take him away. However far he goes, I'm going with him. To the nth of the earth if I have to, but I'm going with him." And so he says, then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. Do you have this kind of tenacity in following the Lord? The company of the prophets at Jericho. Now, notice they're running into these prophets all the while. Went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" He says, "Yes, I know." He replied, "So be quiet. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to follow him no matter what." How many think that's a hunger for God? And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elisha took his cloak, rolled it up, which is his garment, rolled it up and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left. Maybe that was supernatural. And the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So here's the principle. Elisha attached himself to the revelation of the double portion. Now, you're like, "I don't see that anywhere here." Well, we're going to get to that. Elisha wouldn't let go of what he hungered for. And we must do whatever it takes, therefore, to get the revelation that God has given us. You cannot give up on the revelation. See, when setbacks come, I know, I've been there. I've had promises from God, and I've allowed the setbacks to deter me. And I have determined in my life, knowing these principles in a way that I've never known them before, I'm not letting go of God's promises for my life. I'm hungering. I'm determined to go the whole way. I'm not giving up. I don't care what I see, because I got a revelation from God. And the enemy wants to take that revelation away, and I'm not giving it up. Amen? So, that brings us to point three. Increase or double portion comes to those that speak it. Okay, listen to what Elisha did. When they had crossed, Elisha said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" So here he is. He's still following him even to the end, even though he knows he's going to be taken. "What can I do for you?" This is what Elisha says. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Right? Elisha replied, "You have asked a difficult thing." Yep. No one said the double portion was going to be easy. Elijah said, "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you," how many know that's part of the revelation? "It will be yours, otherwise it will not." 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this to us. "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." The principle is the revelation that God gives you, you got to begin to speak it. You got to begin declare it. You got to speak to your mountain, right? And if we speak out loud what we have received by revelation and we are believing God for it, this is one thing Pastor Mike said, if we're ashamed to speak it, maybe God will be ashamed to give it. Not that I think God's ashamed, but you understand what I'm saying. If you're not willing to speak it, what he's given you by way of revelation, how do you obtain it? You've got to speak it with your mouth. You've got to believe in what God has given you. Okay? And then finally, this is the last point, and this was not one that Pastor Mike shared. This is one because I've been studying in this realm of faith that I believe there was one more point. And that is this: increase or double portion comes to those who do what is consistent with their revelation, their hunger, and their words. How many know if you don't stick a seed in the ground, there's going to be no growth? So we've got to begin to take actions that are consistent with what we have heard, are hungering for, and are declaring. And I see this in this continued part of the passage, 2 Kings 11 through 15. "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them." So did Elijah see this happening? Elisha, "And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel.' And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan." So had he received the revelation, that which he hungered for, that which he pursued? Yes, he had received it, obtained it, by faith, right? Again, faith is what you see. It's vision that you can't see with your eyes. There comes a point when you have to believe you have obtained the promise of God, even though you have not yet seen it manifested. You believe it. And then you have to act upon that. Okay? Now, again, yes, he had received the mantle here. But is that, if you get the double portion, is that the end of the story? There's something that you want to do with the double portion, right? How many know then it's time to double it again? Right? Okay? But listen to what he does. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And now look at what the company of prophets were declaring. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. So simply put, when God gives us the blessing, we've got to do something with it. We've got to act upon it. It's for a greater purpose. James 2:26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." So regardless of the setbacks you have experienced, I want to ask you this morning, what is the double portion you are believing God for in 2015? Have you pursued God for that? What's the increase that God wants to give you? You know God wants to give it to you, right? Do you know that God wants to give that to you? So the revelation, speak it, act upon it, hunger for it, amen? All of these things. And this is what Pastor Mike closed with. He said, in order to receive the revelation, we've got to close our eyes. Right? Close our eyes to what's going on around us. Close our eyes to the setbacks. Close your eyes, the natural. Do you see where God wants to take you? Do you see what God wants to give you? Do you see the double portion that God wants to multiply in your life? You can't look at where you are now. You've got to look at that revelation. And then, when you see it, you've got to open your eyes and believe it. Amen? You got to believe it. You got to hunger for it. You got to say, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'm going after it. I'm not taking no for an answer. Well, don't you know that this setback has occurred? I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I'm still going. Yeah, but there's this setback. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I'm still going. Yeah, but don't you see? I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I'm still going. I'm going after my double portion. I'm going after the blessing of God. I'm going after it. I'm not giving up. It's mine. I declare it in the name of Jesus. It's mine. And I will begin to take actions to set it into motion. I will take that revelation and I will plant it in the ground and I will determine that I will pursue it until it is full reality. Amen? So, where's the ushers this morning? I'm going to do the same thing that Pastor Mike did for us. I have my double mint gum pack. This is your little reminder that what God has promised you to give you a double portion of, Whenever you don't be taking this and chewing it. Okay? Stick this in your pocket. And wherever you go, let this be a reminder of the double portion that God's given you. And you begin to pray. You reach in, you feel that, you begin to pray. God, in the name of Jesus, this is my double portion I'm claiming. You know what? I'm claiming that LifeGate Community Church is doubling by revelation in the name of Jesus. And some of you don't know all that goes on with Dawn and my situation. I've shared it with the whole idea of children. Craziest thing people would think in the natural in the world. We're on the verge of our late 40s. And people have prayed for us to receive a child. Well, I'm telling you what, when we were originally struggling with this in the early 90s, God didn't just show us a child. He showed us two children. I ain't satisfied with one. I'm getting a double portion. Amen? I'm getting it. I ain't taking no for an answer any longer. No setback is stopping us. I'm believing God. I challenge you, get a revelation from God in your life. There's some double portion waiting for you, and pray about it. When you get this, and if this wears out, you go buy yourself another pack. You keep it in your pocket until the mantle falls. And God blesses you with that double portion. Amen? How many of you are going to believe with me for a double portion for LifeGate Community Church? Amen? All right. So go ahead and pass that out. And if you want us to agree with you this morning, Dawn and I are going to, we come on up, honey. We had hands laid on us, impartation upon us this weekend. Well, you know what? I just believe the Holy Ghost wants to impart on you too. Amen? So, I mean, it doesn't have to take long, but we just want to encourage you that you come on up here and we'll lay hands and we'll impart a double portion of God's blessing, whatever that may be. Whatever revelation that comes, that God will impart double blessing. I'm telling you what, I want to see increase in this house. No more setbacks. They don't rule the day. God's blessing rules the day, amen? So as we're up here this morning, and then if you want to come up and be prayed for, and then just head on back out, but we want to lay hands on you this morning and just impart over you what the Holy Spirit wants to give in terms of a double portion this morning. Hallelujah.